Hello, nature lovers. Welcome to the Loudoun Wildlife Conservancy podcast. This is a podcast about wildlife, habitats, and happenings right here in Loudoun County, Virginia, with ideas and activities for you to get outdoors and explore nature. I'm Nicole Hamilton, and this is episode number 10. Today we're going to talk about flying squirrels. Yes, indeed, squirrels do fly. But this is not our regular daytime gray squirrel that I'm talking about, although I have seen some pretty crazy leaps between trees by our gray squirrels. Now today we're going to talk about our southern flying squirrel, which glides through the air with the greatest of ease. And let's just say that's probably close enough for flying for a squirrel, I think. So, flying squirrels. A few years ago, we had Alonzo Abugadas do a program for us on these neat little creatures. As it turns out, if you have a stand of mixed hardwoods on your property or have access to a similar habitat nearby, you very likely have flying squirrels that come out after dark to forage for food. Flying squirrels are about half the size of gray squirrels. In fact, their head-to-body length is about 5 inches long, and their tails are about 4 inches long. They're pretty lightweight, too, only weighing about 3 ounces. They have big round black eyes, are grayish-brown on top, and have white bellies that can be seen in the dark. They also make chittering sounds and chirps as they feed and glide through the trees. Aside from bats, the flying squirrel is North America's only other mammal species capable of flight. However, unlike bats, which have wings and are true flyers, the flying squirrel is really a glider. It has a loose fold of skin between its front and hind legs. With its legs outstretched, this fold of skin is stretched out and supports the body as the squirrel glides from tree to tree. And the interesting thing is they can typically glide for 20 to 30 feet, which is pretty far for considering the small size of this little squirrel. But even more amazing is that even longer distances have been recorded, so that's pretty cool. Another interesting feature is that they use their tails, which are flat, as rudders to help with the direction as they aim for the tree, and they can even make turns as steep as 90 degrees or more. Pretty cool, I think. Another interesting thing is that when they come in for a landing on a tree trunk, the flying squirrel makes a dip such that they land kind of facing head up rather than head down. And this is so that they're in the getaway position, ready to scamper up the tree and glide to another location if a predator is hot on their tail or something. Unlike the gray squirrel, flying squirrels are active only at night, and they hardly ever touch the ground, although they will hop along the ground and they'll also run along tree limbs, in addition to their gliding. They spend the daylight hours all just tucked away in tree holes, such as abandoned woodpecker cavities. They especially like holes that are in oak, maple, beech, and hickory trees. So if you have some of these trees in your yard, especially if they're older or are even snags, you could possibly be providing a home for flying squirrels. So now that you know a little bit about flying squirrels, trying to see if you can find some in your backyard can be fun. The way to do this is start by smearing peanut butter on the side of a tree. In addition to the peanut butter, you can also put out nuts on a platform feeder kind of near the peanut butter to further encourage the squirrels to come on by. However, this is the key part here, is you want to do it just after dark or else your regular gray squirrels and your birds will come and eat up the peanut butter. So wait until after dark and then smear away with that peanut butter. The flying squirrels start coming out about half an hour after sunset, and that's probably the best time to see them, too. The other great time to see them is about 30 minutes before dawn, but that might be a little bit too early for some folks. So you'll want to put the peanut butter out for a few nights in a row so that the flying squirrels have time to find it and incorporate it into their feeding rounds. Winter is a great time to be doing this because during the winter, they feed mostly on nuts and seeds. In summer, they switch their diets to mostly insects, so they're not as likely to come to your peanut butter offerings, but this time of year is perfect. So after you put the peanut butter out, check it each morning to see if there are either teeth marks in it or if it has disappeared. Then, after the flying squirrels are accustomed to the peanut butter being there, start going out about 30 minutes after sunset and either have a flashlight in hand or have your outdoor lights on and quietly wait and watch. Now, One word of caution, possible disappointment. You might end up finding that you really have raccoons eating up your peanut butter, but hopefully you'll have flying squirrels. So never try, never know. Might as well give it a go. Alonzo told us that flying squirrels are not really afraid of people. They're mostly concerned about other animals, like owls, that try to eat them. So if you're sitting there patiently, you'll hopefully get to see them and they'll feed and fly around you, or I should say glide around you, and you'll probably hear them chittering and doing their little chirps and twitters. So that can be pretty neat. Flying squirrels are pretty social, and they forage in groups. So if you see one, then there are likely others around you too. And it's been said that there are as many flying squirrels in our yards as there are gray squirrels. So that could be an indication too of how many are probably around your yard. So you must be wondering, is there such thing as a flying squirrel nest box? Well, yes, indeed there are. Woodpecker holes are certainly the favorite that the flying squirrels will look for. But if you're industrious, you can also make a flying squirrel box. The best plans, which you can find online, just do a search on flying squirrel nest box. The best ones have a couple of chambers and two entry holes. And that's really key, having the two entry holes. That way, if a snake gets in, which they certainly will try to do, then the flying squirrel has a way to escape. You know, the snake might come in the bottom, the squirrel can go out the top, or vice versa. And I guess we should talk a little bit about threats to flying squirrels. The greatest predators that eat them are owls and tree-climbing snakes, like our black rat snakes and others, as well as cats. However, the greatest threat of all is the loss of mature trees that provide them with their nesting sites. So in your yards and your neighborhoods, you know, be a champion for trees, because if you leave the trees, then you'll have, and also the snags, even when, you know, the tree gets old and is dying and has nice woodpecker holes in it, you could be providing a great habitat for flying squirrels and other woodland life. So it's really great to leave those guys up. As I mentioned, the abandoned woodpecker holes that are about 20 to 30 feet up are the most common homes for flying squirrels. They sleep during the day and they huddle together for warmth, especially during the winter. And in fact, as many as 50 little flying squirrels may share a nest area, although it's more common to have maybe around 3 to 8 huddling together. Flying squirrels breed twice a year, once in the late winter, early spring, like around late January or February or into March, and then again in midsummer after their first set of young are on their way and are nicely acclimated to their surroundings. The ones that are born in midsummer might actually hang out with their parents through the winter, so you might see family groupings too that come to your peanut butter slathered on the tree. If you want to learn more about flying squirrels and other great backyard wildlife, the best book that I found was called America's Favorite Backyard Wildlife by Kit and George Harrison. It was really an excellent write-up on flying squirrels. It has great pictures of them at feeders and gliding through the air, and definitely had the best write-ups that I came across. They go into the full life cycle of these really fascinating animals, which goes into more detail than I'm giving here, and talks about how they raise their young. And the neat part is they also include short stories of encounters with flying squirrels, which really brings the text to life. Apparently some people have, had some very close encounters with them, and there are some funny stories there too. So I guess that's my story on flying squirrels. I hope you enjoyed learning a little bit about them. They're awfully cute, and I'm hoping to attract them myself this year and maybe get a photo or two. So let's see, now for an update of our programs and activities. This coming Saturday, starting at 8 a.m., we have our bird walk at Banshee Reeks, and you just never know what we'll see there. It's always a great place to go out for a walk. Just bundle up if it's cold, and you'll have a lot of fun. We also have a lot of other great activities coming up, and many of them require sign-up since space is limited, so please do check out the website at www.loudandwildlife.org and check on the programs button in the navigation bar, and you can sign up for all kinds of great things coming up for January through March, I believe. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of our podcast. I hope you've enjoyed learning about flying squirrels. Indeed, they do exist. And I hope you'll tune in again next week for our next podcast. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you along the trails.